Live from 49ers headquarters in Santa Clara, California, this is 49ers Radio with your host, Taylor Price.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to 49ers Radio, the official podcast of the San Francisco 49ers. My name is Taylor Price, and I'm joined by first-round draft pick Joshua Garnett. Thanks for joining us, man.
Oh, glad to be here.
I appreciate you making the time. We just finished up walkthroughs. It's a nice Wednesday. Weather just switched up on us a little bit. How are you handling the cold that's coming through right now?
Oh, yeah, it's easy for me. I mean, I'm a guy who's from that Seattle area, so a little bit of liquid sunshine or a little bit of cold weather, that don't faze me.
No faze in you. And I'm not gonna bore you to death with too many football questions, because football is a big part of your life. We'll get to some of the fun stuff, but I want to just touch on this real quick. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Pro Football Focus, everyone knows them. They like to break down the rankings and the grades from every game. They said you had your best game in Arizona. And put that aside, do you feel like that was your best performance? And do you feel like all these starts have kind of pushed you and helped you to play some of your best ball right now?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I feel like that's something that I've been trying to do every day, is just making sure each day, each game, that I'm a little bit better player. And, I mean, if I can do that every day, every game, then a couple years from now, we're going to have a pretty good player, hopefully.
I'd say you're being modest, but, hey, it's been fun watching you grow and develop. And the biggest thing that I took away from this game, because we don't get to watch all the trench play. We're up high in the press box. We don't get to see everything. But we did see mic'd up DeJuan Harris. And there was a moment where you kind of gave him a little headbutt without the helmet on. And you had this look on you. Do you know what I'm talking about? You want me to pull it up on the computer?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
That just speaks to me that Josh Garnett's got a flip he switches on game day.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I feel like game day, I mean, we work so hard throughout the week, and you got 60 minutes on Sundays to – your body's hurting during the week. You're waking up early. So I really like to get juiced up and really get after it on Sundays. And if that means headbutting someone, I don't have a helmet on, just to show that, hey, we're serious. I mean, he's my running back. And if his linemen are headbutting him without helmets on, that means, hey, he's going to trust me to open some holes for him.
Like it.
So I like to get in that mindset.
You're a smart guy, too. You don't go too aggressive with the headbutt. It was just to the right degree, the right amount.
Right, exactly. I can't get a concussion or split my head open right before the game.
That'd be a bad look. Coach Flats wouldn't be too happy with you.
No.
Tell me about just the rookie season, the ebb and flows, the experience, the way it's been. I mean, I've talked to a lot of guys this week about Thanksgiving and what they're thankful for and some of that stuff, because we're working on a video that's coming out next week. But it just seems that there's a lot of young guys getting opportunity, and folks like yourself, guys are appreciative that they're in the NFL learning, growing, and just developing and trying to get better at their craft.
Right, exactly. I mean, rookie year is a grind. I mean, you start out, you're coming to the NFL, you don't know what to expect. I mean, you're still learning every day. Every day is a kind of a new adventure and a new mindset, which keeps it can get a little monotonous. Obviously, you're doing the same thing every day, but as a rookie, you know that each week you're playing someone new, you're playing a new team you never played, so that really keeps you juiced and keeps you going through the season.
Nice. You mentioned earlier Seattle, the reference of being in the Pacific Northwest. Joe, who sits across from me here, big Seattle guy, loves – he's very proud of his Huskies, even though he didn't go there. He's a Chapman guy, but he loves the Huskies, and he misses the Sonics dearly. What was growing up in Washington like for you? What do you love most about your home state?
The thing I love most about being from Washington, so I'm from a small town called Puyallup. We're famous for having the Puyallup Fair. It's like our state fair. Mm. And being in Washington and being in that area, it's real like a small town community. And that's what I liked about Washington. It wasn't like, I mean, I love California, but it wasn't like you have big San Jose, San Francisco's, like really big towns. You have these small towns with these tight communities where everybody knows each other and you know what's going on here and there, and it just really felt close-knit. And I feel like growing up, that was something that I was really excited about. Being in Puyallup, I had a lot of pride just because we were all so close, and you just have so much pride when you go past Spark Stadium, even when I go back home now, and just knowing that tight-knit community we had.
Nice. So when did football enter the picture for young Josh Garnett?
So I started playing football in the third grade. It was a funny story. My dad actually signed me up. But in Puyallup, where I'm from, they had a weight limit on who could play. Mm. And in the third grade, I would say I was probably 185 pounds. So way too big to play in the league. So thankfully, I had a great dad and have a great dad who drove me 45 minutes every day to practice to the town over that had no weight limit.
Yeah.
So where the big boys could play. So we did that every day for 4 or 5 years until I could get in junior high ball and play junior high ball, which was exciting. But yeah, I started football early, but I was playing against some older kids, obviously, because I was a lot bigger.
You were, yeah, big, strong guy and moving piles and obviously a great young prep football player. You probably had your opportunities or options in terms of which college to go to. And Stanford comes knocking, and you also have the physicality, but you also have the cerebral side of the game. Was Stanford's that degree? Because, I mean, man, you look at it right now, it's like, where would anyone want to go to school? Well, why not go to the best, get the best education and play a really good football team? Like, how good was that educational side influencing your decision to go to Stanford?
Right, exactly. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, we all see SEC football, Big Ten. There's a lot of great programs. But just as a person and outside of football, I mean, just thinking about if someone has a opportunity to go to Stanford for free and they turn that down to go somewhere else, you look at them like they're crazy. Like,
yeah.
It just blows my mind when people have the Stanford offer and don't go there. And it's just like, wow, well, good luck with football. Hopefully everything pans out for you. But unfortunately, we know that a lot of times people get hurt and you don't want to have that mindset. Mm-hmm. You don't want to think pessimistically like that. But that's reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like going to Stanford was definitely a great decision for me, even though it did work out for me and I was a first rounder and I did make enough money where I necessarily don't need to be a doctor. If I don't need to be, I can do whatever my career path or whatever I want to do. But knowing that I can be a doctor and I have a Stanford degree is definitely very reassuring.
Very cool stuff. You were admiring my ASU helmet here
right.
a little while ago. Here's a great question for you. What was the easiest class you had in college?
The easiest class I had.
And was it
in
even easy?
Honestly,
or is this like a misnomer about Stanford?
So the easiest class I had was called Sleep and Dreams. And it was actually pretty funny because we have a guy named Dr. Dement, world-class sleep specialist. And you actually learn a lot of good stuff. Like, there is some challenging material in there. But if you fell asleep in class and he caught you, you got extra credit. And you every day there was like a raffle. So if they put your name on the board and you were in class, you got extra credit. So it was kind of one of those classes where you can have fun and you learn about sleep, but it's pretty easy to get points in. That was the easiest A I got at Stanford.
Interesting. There's a lot of football players in that class.
Oh, yeah.
Sleeping after study hall.
There was tons of football players in there. Oh, yeah.
Love it. Yeah. I think my easiest college class was I took basketball.
Oh, yeah.
That was like a one-credit class, though. That was
that'd
an elective.
Nice.
Just go out there and run a little bit. Stanford was a great opportunity for you. We saw you open holes for Christian McCaffrey and, you know, choke slam dudes and do the rock bottom, all these wrestling moves while you were blocking. They were pretty fantastic clips. I mean, can you describe what it was like sort of in the moment in the David Shaw era, what it was like to be in the eye of the storm, so to speak?
Oh, yeah. I mean, at Stanford, there was just a different mentality. You went to practice every day, you approached the weight room, you approached the training, anything you did with just different mindset that you're going to go out there and grind and that, you know, every day you're going to practice, we're going to be physical. We're going to be padded up. We're going to be smacking and clacking. We're going to be doing everything the Stanford way.
Mm.
And that was something they really preached, that you need to be a Stanford man. You need to be on the details. When we're doing conditioning tests, you got to touch the line, but on even reps, you touch with your right hand. Odd reps, you touch with your left hand. And if you don't touch with the right hand, like, it was good. Like, all the older guys have started yelling at you, like, go back. Like,
yeah.
It was just that mindset where touching the line isn't enough, or touching it with the right hand isn't enough. You got to get it right in the middle of the line. Just being that detailed was something that really, I think, propelled Stanford and really helped us out. Because we never really had, other than a lot of guys in my class, we didn't have the 5-star guys, the 4-star guys. Stanford was really built off the blue-collar, 2-star guys who were going to
chip on the shoulder.
Exactly. Chip on the shoulder, and they're going to work, and they're going to be real detail-oriented. And that's what's helped Stanford be successful and still successful.
What would you say about this year's team? Because McCaffrey started, there's the Heisman hype. I think he got nicked up a little bit. They had some early struggles with trying to figure them, find their way a little bit with a lot of new people. Do you watch a lot? How do you sort of like stay glued to, because you've got so much going on here, but those are like your, that's your family too. Like, oh, yeah. That's got to be a hard thing to, like, you almost want to help them. You can't, but you know, you're still trying to be supportive, like big bro in a sense.
Right, exactly. I mean, I haven't been too hard on the guys because I remember my junior year, it was a similar scenario. We had to reload, and we had myself, Andrus Pete, who was a first rounder for the Saints, and Kyle Murphy, who is offensive lineman for the Green Bay Packers now, and we went 8-5 that year. And so it was a similar thing where we all had to step in, and we were new, and we didn't really hadn't meshed yet.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people are going to be surprised once Stanford next year, once we get the offseason together, I can go there and help guys out. Kyle can come back, just like the older guys came back after the hard season we had and helped us out. And then you saw last year we finished number 3 after being 8-5 with – 2 first rounders and another NFL offensive lineman. So you can't be too hard on them. They got freshmen playing. They got a lot of guys who have the chemistry together. But Coach Blumgren's a great offensive line coach. He's going to get them right, and I'm excited to see what they're going to do next year.
Don't sleep on the Cardinal. You heard it here.
Don't sleep on him.
From Josh Garnett. Off the field, there's so much that takes up your time here. Meetings, weightlifting, you know, media time, all that stuff that goes on with the day-to-day schedule. When you go home from work, how do you unwind? Because Trent Brown was in that seat last week, and he told me he's into meditation, which I necessarily wouldn't assume a football tackle guy, but, you know, there's a lot of violence and fast-paced. You know, you might want to just kind of unwind and chill. That's one way to do it. But for you, like, how do you go home and just kick your feet up and get away from the game when the time is there to do it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Something that I've been doing a lot recently is just where I live at, the apartment area, is I got a pretty nice scenery, so I'll just open the windows up and kick my feet up, and I have, like, a nice little sound bar and just turn some music on. So I've been listening to Kanye West a lot recently, like the old stuff, the College Dropout, Late Registration, all the skits and everything.
I like it.
Yeah, I feel like Late Registration has been that album for me probably the last month or two where I can just go home and turn that on and just listen to it and just sit back and vibe and relax.
I like it. That's a good call. Did you go to his show out here? Oracle, we couldn't go because it was before the game. There was one at SAP the night of one of our recent ones. I saw that show. It was good. I saw him on the College Dropout Tour when I was in college. That was insane. Small venue. John Legend was playing piano for him. It's pretty good stuff. Have you heard the new Tribe Called Quest album?
I have not.
It's really good.
I'm going to have to check that out. Really good. Something else to vibe to.
Kanye is like humming on one chorus of one song, but it has Kendrick, Andre 3000.
I heard they have a lot of collabs.
It's good stuff.
In the album.
I'll play a little bit for you right now, but we don't digress. Enjoy that. If you're looking at scenery, you're chilling, this new Tribe Called Quest album, thank you for the service. Thank you for your service. Anyways, it's really good. They did it with Chappelle on Saturday Night Live
this last weekend.
It's good stuff. Shane Scove did this podcast. He told me he likes to sous vide meat and cook for fancy ways, which is impressive. It's a Stanford thing. I respect it. Like, you can't just grill. You got to one-up somebody, do a little different. Where do you go for food around here? Because there's a lot of talk about Tiller being the king chef of the offensive line room. Do you dabble? Do you cook for yourself? Or are you enjoying that first-round money and you might go to a nice restaurant here and there?
No, actually, we get free meals at the 49ers spot in our cafeteria, so I'll grab a to-go box and I'll eat that. And then if I get hungry, we actually have there's a place down here, a pho place, that literally you can call them and they say, hey, I'll have it ready in 10 minutes. And really, you show up 5 minutes later and they have it ready. So I really like that. I really just started eating pho like 2 months ago, and I've kind of liked – it's definitely helped me with it's got good broth in it, kind of keeps your immune system up, good carbs for the next day. It's light, too, so it's not going to get you too heavy.
Slow you down.
Good sodium, too. You definitely need to replace that sodium after a long day. So been eating a lot of pho along with the free food we get. It don't matter what kind of food it is. Free food is free food, so save some of that money.
Preach. I'm with you, man. Where you see all these guys, we're always in the cafeteria around the clock.
And no shame.
They have good food over there. They take good care of us. You mentioned the opportunity to potentially be a doctor, and I think it's probably rare air NFL players that have that opportunity if they wanted to. Tell our fans about your background, your degree, the classes that, you know, that's very ambitious and very cool in a way that you could do that down the road too.
Right. Yeah, so I was a human biology major at Stanford. We don't have a pre-med major per se. So you take human biology and it matches a lot of pre-med requirements. Then you just take the pre-med requirements as electives. So we can't take basketball as an elective. You got to take the biochems and everything, but I wish I could.
A little Sun Devil shade. It's okay.
Yeah, but it's all good. And I was always wanted to be a doctor. And I felt like at Stanford, I really wanted to pursue that, even though it was going to be tough with school. But I feel like being a pre-med guy and playing football, it's actually helped me. And where a lot of people think like, oh, it's too hard. How are you going to practice and do both of that? But I know a lot about the human body. I know a lot about injuries. I know a lot about how to take care of injuries. But the big thing is the nutritional aspect and kind of I have a deeper understanding about what certain proteins, certain amino acids do, certain combinations of different supplements do. And so I feel like I've really given myself an upper edge on a lot of guys in the weight room or on the field and in recovery just because I have knowledge that they don't have just because they weren't pre-med and don't really have that molecular understanding of proteins and stuff.
Yeah, and that fits well with what Chip's doing here with sports science.
Right.
You probably, when Coach Uwe and the strength staff is giving you guys nutritional or strength tips and all that, it probably registers that much faster for you.
Right, exactly. Something where, and I like looking at the slides that they have and when they're talking about, oh, taking the protein right after practice, it does this, this, and this. And I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe. I forgot that it also did this, and just always learning, and I like talking to those guys and really picking their brain and seeing what they're doing, and it's definitely very interesting.
A lot of protein this week because Tom Brady's coming to town, and I'm from the Bay Area, and my fiance, she's from San Mateo. Her brother, soon-to-be brother-in-law, went to the same high school as him. The whole Bay Area has never seen Tom Brady play a game in, I mean, maybe he played in Oakland, but in 2008, he wasn't here. He was injured. So this is a big week for Tom Brady, buying all the tickets. They're going to be showing out. Patriots are going to be showing out for this game. What's the mentality for a young player that you're not blocking Tom Brady by any means? You're stopping the defense over there, but just being on the field with him at the same time. Like that, I'm in the press box. That's cool to me to be in the same vicinity of watching a guy like that. But how does that name, that team, that opponent really sort of like get you juiced up for this week?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, whenever you're on the field with someone who's great like that, you definitely take a minute. I'm sure I'll take a minute maybe during the national anthem or afterwards, right before, just to kind of reflect and think about all the great players I'm on the field with, or maybe after the game I think about that. But it really doesn't register with you until there's like brief moments, but you don't really think about like, oh, Tom's coming to town, because if I did that, hey, they got a lot of – they got some big boys up front who need a lot more attention and than Tom does.
That's true. Yeah, it should be a fun matchup. I think at this point, like, people want the Niners to be breaking stuff and throwing stuff across the room. And I keep saying it on all these different shows that we do that the intensity is there. Like, our guys are trying to get better, and they're pissed about – the losing streak. Guys are just, I can only imagine what it's like in the meeting rooms and just that intention to detail, that focus, like how good it would feel and how badly the guys want to show out and have a good game in front of the home fans.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, that's something that I've gotten seen and been really appreciative of, is not only how everyone's still grinding and wanting to work hard even though things haven't gone our way, but just how the fans have reacted. I mean, we do really have I said on my Instagram today, we have the best fans in the NFL. I mean, a lot of times, I know a lot of teams, if their team had this record, a lot of fans would be booing or bad-mouthing the players and tweeting at everyone saying bad things. But our fans have been real supportive and have really had our back through a lot of things. And even in Arizona, I gave my cleats to a little kid because he was just screaming his heart out the whole entire game. And we were walking out the tunnel, he's screaming as loud as he can. And just to see people going to Arizona and still having that mindset, and still loving the team. And either if we're win every game or lost every game, people still have that same intensity for us, is really exciting. It makes me happy to see. It makes me very proud to be a 49er.
Nice. Well said. That's why they call them the 49er faithful. They ride or die.
Exactly.
There's some ride or die fans.
Ride or die fans.
Love that. Did you give Defo that sweet Stanford t-shirt he's rocking right now?
No, I guess Shane gave that to him. I didn't even see that he had it on until earlier today.
He looked good in it. He looked good in it.
Yeah, he looked good. I think we could have used him at Stanford. He would have been a good guy to have. That's what's funny about Alex Balducci is that he plays offensive line, and I've gotten to know him and became close to him and became friends with him. But when I tell you there was someone I hated in college, he was that guy. And I didn't even know him, but I just hated him just because we had so many battles, and he played nose guard and I played guard. And so we were always hitting each other. So when I get here, I see, oh, Balducci's playing offensive line. I'm not going to talk to him ever.
Yeah.
And then you talk to him the first time, you're like, wow, this guy's actually a cool guy. And then it's just funny to kind of see the metamorphosis of kind of our relationship and what's happened.
Totally. Small world.
Oh, yeah.
Football's a small world. You cross paths with so many players from high school, college, and whatnot. And we're excited. It's a big opportunity to test ourselves again on Sunday against the New England Patriots. Make sure you follow Joshua Garnett on Twitter at IamJoshG. Great Twitter name, by the way. Is that the same on Instagram?
No, my Instagram is Joshua Garnett. Yeah, my sister in high school, when I made my Twitter, I said, Rachel, I mean, she's like a debate coach, twin sister. She's the one that got all the brains. And
branding expert.
Yeah, branding expert. And she's like, I'm like, what should it be, Rachel? She's like, well, just make it at IamJoshG so everyone knows that this is the real one. And I just stuck with it.
Smooth. Love it. Great stuff, and we're seeing the steady development and growth, and it's been fun watching you play, headbutt some of the guys, and pave the way for some big plays. And last week, I think, it's just the taste of where this offense can go. I think we're seeing some great strides from you guys. So best of luck this Sunday, and go get them, man. I don't really have any more pep talk for you. I just think it's fun to watch you play ball and do your thing. So best of luck the rest of the way.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks to everyone for listening to 49ers Radio. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes and check us out on TuneIn as well. We'll be back with more on 49ers Radio.